Hello, hello, hello. It's your girl Kathleen, aka Cassidine, aka Sodin, and welcome to another episode of Sodin's Soapbox. Yes. Here on Sodin's Soapbox is where we rant about all things love, life, and the pursuit of music. Get into it, get into it. Well, guys, we are finally here. It's the final episode of season one. I know. But I truly believe breaks are necessary. As I mentioned in the last episode, I've been going hard since February, and we are now coming up on June. That's 4 months straight, 2 episodes a month that I've been pumping out. Even though I'm still pretty new to podcasting, I feel like it's necessary to make sure I don't experience burnout anytime soon. Even for a new podcaster like me, I want to make sure that I give myself space to be inspired and to think of topics and to be able to give myself moments of rest, honestly. No real reasoning beyond that. I think it's important to give yourself times of rest and times of productivity. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give myself some rest. So this is the final episode for season one. I can't believe we finally made it here. This is a last episode, and what's going to happen is basically I will be taking the month of July off. So the entire month of July, there will be no episodes for Sodin's Soapbox. So we will be back on August 13th. I still have something up my sleeve for this month after this episode comes out, but other than that, there will be no more episodes for Sodin's Soapbox until August 13th, okay? So, if you have not caught up on this first season, you have a whole month to do so, because season two, we are hitting the ground running, okay? Okay? All right. Of course, as always, I want to thank everyone for their love and their support, especially thus far through this entire season. It has not gone unnoticed. I thank you for the love and support on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, the shares, the likes, the comments, all of them. I'm so grateful. I'm so appreciative. It means so much to me, again, as someone who's a small content creator, who's learning how to navigate these streets. It really means a lot to me. So I'm thankful. And I ask that during this break time, please share my podcast with your friends, with your family, with your loved ones. Tell them about my podcast and get them ready for season two, because it's definitely going to be a lot of fun. I'm definitely going to come to you guys with new topics, new things, and hopefully I can get some guests on the show that we can kind of dialogue with different topics. So I'm definitely going to be experimenting with some different things in season two. Again, thank you everyone for your love and support. It definitely does not go unnoticed. And of course, before we jump into today's episode, please, please, please follow your girl on all social media platforms. That's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. My handle is Shameless Listo on all platforms. That's S-H-A-M-E-L-E-S-S. L-I-S-Z-T-O. Again, chat with your girl. Message me on Instagram or send me a tweet or hit me up on Facebook if that's your platform of choice. I'd love to know your thoughts on today's episode or any of the past episodes. Or if there's a topic you'd like me to talk about in the next season, let me know. I'm definitely open to suggestions and thoughts. Maybe there's a topic about Korea you'd like to know, or maybe there's another topic that's of interest to you. If it's something that I'm a little bit well-versed on, I will definitely consider doing an episode on it. So let me know your thoughts and suggestions and comments. hit me up on the socials. All right, let's get into first Soren's life. So, of course, as you know, we've been doing a little segment of giving you what's been going on with me since the last episode. And first things first, I'll eat your brains. Yeah, every time I say that, I always jump into the Nicki Minaj line, which, hands down, I don't care what nobody says, she bodied the monster verse for Kanye. Like, everybody else is irrelevant in that song. But I digress. So, baby, we outside. I've been, again, trying to fulfill that hot girl summer. And I want to clarify when I say hot girl summer. While, yes, Meg Thee Stallion is queen, for me, hot girl summer just means that I'm trying to step out of my comfort zone. As y'all know, I grew up in a very strict religious household. And even outside of that, I've kind of always been afraid to be my true authentic self. And so the whole theme of having a hot girl summer is me not being afraid, me stepping out of the box that I put upon myself and that other people have put on me, and just saying, I'm gonna do me regardless. I'm gonna have fun, I'm gonna explore, I'm gonna do all the things that I felt like I needed other people's approval, or, oh, I need my friends to go with me to do. Baby, I'm gonna have fun by myself. If you wanna come along, great. But if nobody comes with me, that's okay too. So that's what I mean when I'm saying I have a hot girl summer. Now, I do want to be twerking on a yacht this summer. That is the one goal I have every intention of fulfilling. I'm trying to find somebody's yacht, and I intend to be twerking on it. But the whole theme for me in having a hot girl summer is essentially just walking in my authenticity and just being comfortable in my skin, not letting people humble me anymore. Because I feel like I've dealt with people trying to humble me and silence my voice and trying to put me in a box that I never asked to be put in. I'm having a hot girl summer, and I'm gonna have a hot girl fall, and I'm gonna have a hot girl winter. Like, we having hot girl all year round. That's the mentality. And I guess the best way to sum it up is this is main character energy. If hot girl summer doesn't fit you or you don't like that, you can dub it main character energy. But that's what I'm stepping into, is that main character energy. But yeah, I just came from Busan. It was great. I had a good time. Some parts of it was a little rough. But other than that, I had a good time. I had me a grand time. Next week, I'm going to my very first concert. I'm going to be seeing JB from GOT7 live. I am so excited. This is honestly my first, like, K-pop Korean concert in Korea. My first K-pop concert was back in the States. I saw Big Bang for the first time. But this is, like, my first Korean K-pop concert here in Korea. And I am dumb excited. Like, I cannot wait. So yeah, next week I will be at the JB concert. I'm gonna be doing a bunch of activities this summer. I'm telling you. So that's why I say follow my Twitter and follow my social media. I don't really post too much of my personal stuff on those pages, but I'll drop a couple of hints here and there. But yeah, that's basically my update life, is I'm trying to enjoy myself and have a good time. All right, so let's jump into today's episode. So we are now essentially continuing our last episode, which we titled Friends, the Other Soulmate, where we kind of talked about, even though there's a huge emphasis on finding your soulmate in a husband or a wife, people forget that you can have soulmates and friends. So the last episode, we kind of talked about the different types of friends, those who are leaves and those who are branches and those who are roots, and what friendship breakups look like, and analyzing yourself when it comes to certain friendships, as well as analyzing the type of friends that you have in your life. So that's kind of what this overall take from the last episode. But this episode, we're going to basically talk about my journey in terms of trying to make friends here in Korea. Because that's been an interesting process, if I'm being honest with you. Especially being a foreigner in a country where I don't speak the language. It's a completely different culture from the West, especially America. It's essentially polar opposites, if I can be honest. So I want to talk about my experience here since living in Korea these past 2, almost 3 years. And I want to clarify, this is my experience living here in Korea. I don't want it to overlook or overshadow other people's experience, because foreigners who come to Korea, we're not a monolith. Everybody has different experiences. You have some people who come here, they have amazing experiences, they make friends right off the bat, no problems, no issues, no qualms. And then you have other people, they come here and they have horrible experiences. They make friends, but then they have horrible experiences with the friends that they make, or they can't make friends at all, or whatever the case may be. So I want to make it clear that this is my experience and my experience alone. And in no way, shape, or form does it have, I don't want it to reflect how Koreans are or how foreigners are. This is just what I've come across in general. Okay. So I think what one of my issues is, obviously, like now, especially on social media, you see so many people talking about, oh, you know, living abroad and being digital nomads, or, you know, they work remote, so they travel from country to country and they'll stay there for a month or two. And they talk about, you know, how easy life is in other countries, or how cheap life in other countries are, which is all true. Because I'll tell you, living here, for example, the cost of healthcare is ridiculous. As an example, I remember I hurt my foot and I was afraid to go to the hospital because, you know, PTSD, thinking about living in America and going to the hospital. I was afraid because I'm like, oh, they're going to slap me with like a $2,000 bill and I can't pay that. And I remember my co-teacher being like, oh no, like we can go to the hospital, like we have good insurance. And I'm like, nah. I've had good insurance in America and they still will slap you with like a $5,000 bill. And they were like, no, like, let's go. Went to the hospital and they were like, okay, let's go to get your x-rays done. I'm thinking, okay, I'm gonna have to schedule an appointment. It's gonna be next week. And he's like, oh no, it's down the hall. What? Okay. Go down the hall, x-ray. X-ray took nothing but 5 minutes. Then the people who did the x-ray sent the images to the other doctor on the other side. So I just literally walked over. He looked at it. He's like, okay, I see what the problem is. All right, we'll take care of it. And they're like, oh, well, because you had to do the x-ray, it's going to be a little bit expensive. And I was like, see, I knew it. I was like, all right, just hit me with it. How much is it? And they were like, oh, it's going to be 10,000 won. And my mind was like, I'm sorry, what? And they were like, oh, it's going to be 10,000 won. Now, for those of you who don't know Korean money, even though inflation and all that, for the sake of easy math, because, you know, I don't feel like doing all that extra stuff, 1,000 won is roughly the equivalent of a dollar. Again, inflation, not necessarily true, but for the sake of the podcast, let's just say 1,000 won is a dollar. So they told me it's going to be 10,000 won. So meaning it's the equivalent of almost $10. And I said, you said that's expensive. And he was like, yeah, it's not really covered under your insurance. So you had to pay. And they're like, is that okay? $10 for x-ray? Take my card. So when people talk about how healthcare is in other countries, or, you know, food and certain conveniences, they are absolutely correct. Because, baby, that day in the hospital, I was shooketh. I will agree to that. But I feel like people will highlight, which obviously that's what social media does, highlight the amazing parts of living in other countries, but they don't talk about the negative side of living overseas, which is if you're a foreigner, especially in certain countries like Japan or China or Korea, which are homogenous countries, it's very difficult to make friends, especially when they have a certain mentality around interacting with foreigners or a certain way of life that is very different from the country that you're coming from. And that's just what I've encountered. It's one thing to be a tourist here because people will embrace you, people will essentially love on you and show you the best of their country. But it's a completely different thing when you actually live here, because then the blinders come off and like essentially the covers come off, and then you kind of see things from a different perspective. And that's just been my experience. Again, not saying anything negative or anything bad, but I've just noticed that it's a lot harder to make friends here than I anticipated. And I think the add-on to it is, as I've said before, I don't live near the main cities. I live on the outskirts in essentially a rural area where I'm probably the only foreigner within a 50-mile radius, maybe farther than that. Again, making friends with one Koreans or making friends with other foreigners, it's very, very difficult for me. Because for me, my thought was, okay, when I get to Korea, I'm going to join a dance class, I'm going to join a language class, I'm going to join essentially these different things, and that's how I'm going to make friends. But then once I got placed in the area that I was in, none of those things could be possible. As I mentioned in my dating episode, I essentially reverted to apps. I was like, okay, the apps can be used for dating, but they can also be used for friends. But the problem just became meeting up with these friends and having real connections. Because when you're making friends with other foreigners, it's the thought process of how long are they going to be here? Because a lot of the foreigners here, some of them are teachers like me. They may only be here for a year and then they're gone. But then you have other foreigners who are exchange students. They're only here for 6 months or 3 months and then they're gone. You end up meeting people and you have amazing connections and then they leave. For me, it's very hard to create lifelong friendships with people only for them to leave immediately after. Because as I mentioned in the last episode, I'm not the type of person that lets people in easily. So it's like once I've let you in and then now you're gone, I'm now like, dang, I got to start all over again. And it becomes a very lonely process for a lot of foreigners here. Very, very lonely, because it's like you make all these friends only for them to leave again. For some people, in their mind, they're like, oh, I plan to stay here for a long time, or I plan to stay here and have a family. Whereas some people, that's not their mentality. They're like, oh, I'm only here for a year to have fun, to teach and do whatever, and then I'm gone. And other people's like, oh, I'm here to save up money, rack up money for as long as I can to pay off my student loans or pay off my debts, etc., and then I'm out. So when you have all these dynamics, imagine trying to make friends in this type of pool. So naturally for me, I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to make friends with, you know, my Korean coworkers or other Koreans. But the problem is they see you the same way. Koreans see you as like, okay, we don't know how long you're going to stay here either. So they're not necessarily willing to invest in you or connect with you in that way to make a friendship either. So it's like the Koreans don't want to hang out with you because they don't know how long you're going to be here. And then it's like, okay, do I make friends with the foreigners without ever knowing like their timeline? What do you do? The answer essentially becomes you got to just throw all caution to the wind and just be friends and essentially carpe diem. Seize the day and live in the moment and kind of just make friends with who you can and cherish the moments and cherish the time that you have with them. And then when they leave. And you just kind of have to, it sucks, but you kind of just have to move on to the next. Because even in the time that I've been here, I've met some amazing people and they've already left. And it's kind of like I've been forced to move on when I've had no other choice. And that's difficult for somebody like me who's been praying that I find my tribe here. My prayer, my desire is that I find my roots here. I find my tribe here because I want to be able to lean on them and they lean on me. Especially we're all living in a foreign country. Sometimes you need a group of people who understand you and understand what you're going through. For me specifically, sometimes I have rough days at work because my co-teachers or my Korean co-workers just don't understand me. And that's no fault of their own. They have a different thought process. They have different way of viewing things. Sometimes, as much as I love my friends back home, there's a time difference. And sometimes texting them and telling them what's going on at work, they don't always get it. And it's not any fault of theirs. It's because they don't live in Korea, so they don't get it sometimes. They empathize with me and they sympathize with me, but unless you live here, you can't really grasp what's going on. So it's like when you have friends who live here and understand, and you're like, oh, my coworker did this, and like, yo, I understand. It makes things that much easier to connect with you. For me, I kind of just went on this whole journey of essentially trying to find friends, the same way that I was trying to date. I met some people, and the thing is about making friends here in Korea, I'm going to try and do a segment one of talking about making friends with foreigners and then trying to make friends with Koreans to kind of break it up. When you make friends with Koreans here, the problem is, like I said, they look at you and they're like, we don't know essentially how long you're going to be here. They're really not too open in the sense of being friends with you. They kind of keep this wall up between you and them. Because in their mind, they're like, unless you are married to a Korean, they feel like you could be ready to up and leave at any point. So they're not really willing to open up to you and be your friend. So that's kind of like the first group of people you meet, because I can't tell you how many times, like, I've come across people, I've heard them say they wanted to be friends with me, but then they're not really willing to make that first engagement. And it's like here, you kind of have to be the person to always make that initial step. And I'm not gonna lie to y'all, I'm tired of making the initial step every single time. So it's like, at some point or another, you have to decide on your own if you want to keep being the initiator of every single friendship here in another country, or if you decide it's going to be 50-50, or you're just fine with, I'm just going to rock on my own, essentially. Then you have the people who just keep it at 100, and again, this is my experience, nobody else's. You have people who do want to be friends with you, and they're like, oh, I want you to be my friend, I want you to be my friend. But in reality, they just want an English teacher. They want a free English teacher. They're not really invested in you as a person, like your personality, what you got going on, your life. They simply just want to be friends with you because they can practice their English with you. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, some people, they don't mind that at all. Because what they'll do is they'll be like, okay, if you want to practice your English with me, I'll practice my Korean with you. There are some people that that's what they do and they get that benefit out of it. For me, I don't really rock with that too much. I kind of caught on maybe a year or so after. Like people I would meet maybe on the first conversation, they'd be like, oh, can we be friends? The reason why I figured it out is because Koreans don't label each other friends that quickly. So when they would label me their friend within the first meeting, I was like, okay, there's no way we are friends already. And I say that because Koreans use the honorific system in the sense that based off your age, you can't be friends with a Korean. Like if they're a year older than you or younger than you, you're considered like their older brother or older sister or that type of level. When you're a foreigner, they try to basically throw that out the window. But if they really respect you, they will still call you their older brother or older sister or whatever, even if you're a foreigner. Because, for example, I do have a Korean friend. She calls me her unni, which means older sister, because of the relationship that we have. We've been friends for a while, but regardless, she still calls me her Annie because she respects the relationship that we have and because I am older than her. Sometimes you have Koreans who are just like, oh, can we be, you know, I want to be your friend. It's more or less because their English is not that good and they want to be able to talk to you to develop their English. So you have that. And essentially, that's pretty much it. You do have your people who generally want to be your friend, even as a foreigner, but they don't know how to go about it and they're afraid to be friends with you. Those situations honestly are touch and go. I haven't figured out how to navigate those situations, if I'm being honest. Because I've overheard in Korean people saying to me, like, or saying about me, oh, I want to be her friend, but I'm afraid. But because of the situation, it wasn't really appropriate for me to be like, oh, it's okay, we can be friends. So it's kind of like, oh, I know they want to be my friend. Because they let the situation or like fear get in the way, it just never happens. Because that's something else I've noticed here is that especially like my coworkers and other people, they let the fact that they don't speak English that well affect their ability to connect with you. Because I've had coworkers and I've had other people, not just coworkers, I'm using them as an example, but I've had people in general just come to me and be like, oh, I don't speak English that well. And I'm like, it's okay, I speak a little bit of Korean. But even so, they're still not willing to form a relationship with me because of that fear of the fact that, oh, I don't speak English. And I'm afraid that it'll make me look dumb, or I'm afraid it'll make me look incompetent, or whatever the case may be. So they just don't. They avoid you altogether because they don't want to be put to shame that they can't speak English to the same level that you do. Even though, again, I've made it clear that I have a well enough vocabulary for Korean, not enough to have an in-depth conversation. Like, I couldn't do this entire podcast in Korean, but I have a well enough level that I can navigate my way through a conversation, but they're still just not willing to put themselves out there. And I think that's just the overall Korean culture, or just like the people I've encountered. They're not willing to put themselves out there in the sense of, like, you know, in American culture, you meet people that you kind of feel a connection with, or you have a good vibe and you're like, you know what, this person seems like a really great person, I want to be friends with them. We're willing to be like, hey, you know, what's your name? Like, my name is Kathleen, like, I really want to get to know you. We're kind of willing to do that. Here, that's not really the case. There's no such thing as small talk, even though I hate small talk with a passion. There's no such thing as, like, you're at the grocery store and someone just walks up to you and talks to you. There's no such thing as, like, you're standing in line, which, don't get me wrong, I actually don't mind that at all. Like, I don't mind people not making small talk with me, like, in the grocery store, at the bank, because I hate small talk. But essentially, like, if somebody sees you at the cafe or at the library or any place and they feel like, oh, that's somebody I would like to get to know, they're not really willing to approach you to connect with you. That's not really a common thing here. Now, in the dating realm, maybe, I don't know. But I know as far as friendship is concerned, unless that person is familiar with that way of life from living in America or Australia and other countries that do that, that's not their normal way of approaching someone. So again, also the reason why you're not going to really make friends in that way. And essentially, you know, Koreans like to stay to themselves. So it also makes it a lot harder for you to make friends with Koreans. I remember when I first got here, because of where I am, I was like, okay, since there's not a lot of foreigners where I am, I'll just make friends with the Koreans that live here and kind of just work on my Korean, work on learning about the culture and the history and things like that. But again, because Koreans have a tendency to kind of stick to themselves, because they kind of see you as this temporary thing, they're just not willing to reach out to you so easily. Because I've been in situations where you know, I'm sitting at the table with a bunch of people and they're all talking amongst themselves and I'm kind of just left out of the conversation. And the reasoning just being that, oh, well, we don't speak English is kind of just the reason why I'm left out of the conversation. Again, I have a fairly good level of Korean, but because Koreans kind of talk fast, kind of like with us, if you think about English, English to them sounds like really fast, but I don't speak at the same speed as them, and half the time the conversation, I don't know what's going on for me to necessarily jump in. You're kind of just left as the outsider, as you already feel when you're first coming in. So it's a series of things. Now, I have made some amazing friends who are Korean here. It is possible, but I've met them through online, and they were just a little bit more willing because they were open to making foreigner friends or Korean friends. It's just that, again, you got to find those rare people who are not so shy about connecting with foreigners, because, like I said, for the most part, Koreans like to stick to themselves and kind of be shy with each other. Even at my church, I go to a Korean church. The whole thing's in Korean, so I don't necessarily understand what's going on. But I've found myself where I spend more time with the parents at the church versus those who are my age, because the parents, they don't necessarily mind that I don't speak Korean that well. They speak Korean to me and they interact with me and I talk to them with the Korean that I know and they embrace me and they take me in. So that's why I said, like, it is possible. I can't say they're my friends, but they take me in and they take care of me. Whereas the ones who are my age, who do speak English, who I could say I would like to be friends with, they don't necessarily interact with me. They kind of stick to themselves and they kind of have their own little community and stay within each other. So whenever I'm with them, I kind of feel like I'm on the outside. But whenever I'm with, like, the adults, like the grandparents and the moms and the dads and stuff like that, they always make me feel like I'm one of them. So I'd be feeling like a parent versus I feel like my actual age. So that's why I said it's not impossible. It's just it takes a lot more work. And I don't think people really talk about that. And then shifting gears in terms of making friends with foreigners, I've had like a mixed situation with them, because with going on these like trips, I've been doing tours. And so I've made like a lot of friends on these tours where we've kind of all had the same experience, whether we're teachers, exchange students, or whatever type of jobs we've had. We've all had similar experiences here in Korea where we are here for X amount of time, but we've just had difficulty and wanting to make friends with Koreans. But other than that, like making friends with foreigners, I can't say it's easier making friends with foreigners than it is with Koreans, just because of the fact that, again, you make friends with foreigners and then they end up leaving. So it's like, what's the easier side of things? I just know that since going on the tours, like going to Jeju, going to Busan, I did a hot air balloon tour that I mentioned earlier in the season, I was able to make friends and to at least establish some sort of friendship group, you can say. And even just doing stuff on my own, I've managed to maybe connect with one or two people. Like, I visited the Hai Museum and I went by myself, but then there was like one or two people that I just happened to just ask a question to, and then we kind of like stuck together the entire tour of the museum, and that naturally is what happened. And then we ended up meeting up. So little things like that is how I've naturally been able to make friends. Now, of course, obviously, the panini is what really messed me up in trying to make friends when I first got here. But thankfully, now that things are opening up, I feel like I have a lot better chance of making friends. But I think for me, the hardest part is I really, really, really just want to be able to find my tribe here and find the people that I consider my roots. And I know I can't rush that. I know I can't rush finding the people that are for me and I for them, because that's what it's about. It's about reciprocity. I don't want to simply find a tribe for just my own selfish reasons. I want to be able to find people who I can invest in them the same way that they can invest in me, because that's what friendships are about at the end of the day. I don't believe in one-sided friendships, and I've had enough of those in my life, to be honest. Those are, again, the people who you consider leaves or branches. But for me, I think the main reason why I've kind of navigated trying to find friends is just because, like, again, when it comes to my day-to-day, sometimes you just want to talk to somebody about the type of workday you've had. And I want to make it clear, I love my friends back home. And I, you know, I went into depth about how much I love my best friend and my sisters. But they don't necessarily get what I go through on a day-to-day basis because they've never lived in Korea. They're not teachers. They're not teachers in a foreign country. They don't have to deal with being stared at when you walk out of your apartment every day. They, you know, don't have to deal with certain things that I deal with on a day-to-day basis. And it would be nice to have friends that you can kind of just let your hair down with, who understand when I say, oh, this is what happened to me this week, they immediately know, like, okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Like, I get what you're saying. Versus somebody who doesn't live here, you kind of have to explain exactly what it is. And it that has a tendency to wear on you even more. But I am thankful that the friends that I do have back home, they're patient and they're understanding and they give me a listening ear. It just would be nice that while I'm here to also have a circle of friends that I can, you know, put my energy towards as well. When I'm just having a hard day or when I want to get away for the weekend, yo, like, what are you doing this weekend? Let's go to the park and have a picnic, or let's go to a wine cafe, or let's go to a pet cafe, because I'm not allowed to have a dog. So I want to go to a pet cafe and just love on a dog for, you know, an hour or two. Or, you know what I mean? Like, whatever the case may be, I just, and as I've mentioned, you know, obviously I'm referencing a few of my episodes, but that's also the reason why I'm not really too comfortable with dating also. Is I need to make sure that I have friends in case, like, I need to bail out on a date. I don't want to be on a date with some guy and he starts acting weird and then I don't have any real friends that I could be like, hey, can I drop my location to you in case things go left? Or can I, hey, emergency, can you, like, fake call me? You need me right now so I can, like, dip out on a date. And I know maybe some guys would be looking like, why would you need to do that? I'm like, dudes are crazy, okay? Y'all dudes be weird. And y'all dudes don't know how to take no for an answer. And I need friends who, in case I need to mayday, mayday, get out of there, I need that. And you have some girls, I've heard some horror stories of girls going on dates with guys. And I feel like sometimes if they had a friend, they wouldn't be in those situations. Like, I've seen girls say, like, they moved in with their boyfriend. They and their boyfriend broke up. And the boyfriend tried to kick them out. And they had nobody. They didn't have a place to stay. They didn't have a friend. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not saying I would necessarily want to impede on my friend. But if I at least had a place to crash until I could get myself together, that's all I would need, is at least have a friend, like, hey, this happened to me. I need a place to stay for the night. Can I just crash at your place? And they'd be like, yeah, girl, I got you. Come over. Like, what do you need? I these are the type of friends that I need in my life. I need people who care about me and I can care about them. And I say that because, like, even when I first moved into my apartment, I bought extra blankets and pillows and stuff like that for my friends, you know, not even making friends here in Korea. I bought extra pillows and blankets and towels for friends because I naturally grew up in a hospitable house, but that's just kind of the person that I am. I have extra things should someone ever say, like, hey, I'm in an emergency. Can I crash at your place? Yeah, girl, come on. Like, what you need? you need this, you need that, like, okay, come on over. That's just always a mentality that I've had. And even when I lived in Virginia, me and my roommate, we had people crash at our place all the time. They would be like, yo, I'm not feeling well. Can I just come over and crash on your couch? We'd be like, girl, just come on over. The door is open. Just come on in. Just make sure you lock it when you come in. That's just kind of the nature that I've had with my friends, is essentially an open door policy. You want to talk? Come on in. Just give me or my roommate a call. Or even if you only gave one of us a call, I would just tell my roommate, like, oh, hey, so-and-so's coming over. And she'd be like, okay, cool. That's fine. Literally everybody was at our house to come crash on our couch, or if they just were going through something and they needed somebody to talk to. And what helped is that our apartment was literally next to the church. This particular group of friends, we all went to the same church, and our apartment was literally down the street from the church. So literally we had friends who after church would come to the house, or on the way to church would come to the house, or just because would come to our house. That's how inviting our house or our apartment was. I've always just been that type of person where if somebody says, I need to get away for a second, or I'm not feeling at peace in my own place, can I come crash at your place? Come on over. I may not have a place for you to sleep, you know, as far as a bed, but I'll put 2-3 blankets on the floor and a pillow and, girl, crash. Heck, you can have my bed and I'll sleep on the floor. Like, that's just kind of the friend I've always been. And I think for me, probably the most difficult thing, if I'm being honest, is just finding friends in Korea, because I know the type of friend I am, and just finding people who match you on that. Because I've just come across people who wanted me as their free English teacher, or who wanted to be friends with me, but then like act weird later. And it's just like, okay, what's going on? Like, you asked me to be your friend. Why are you now acting like, why are you being weird to me? Like, that type of energy. I've had to just take it all with a grain of salt. I've had my share of weird people being friends with me, or I've had my share of friendship breakups, or just interesting friendships. So it's just like, at this point, I don't have any skin in the game. I kind of let it all roll off my back, especially now being in a foreign country. But I would just say, like, not enough people talk about the loneliness of living in a foreign country and trying to make friends. I feel like people highlight the, you know, oh, you know, I'm going to Seoul and I'm going to Busan and I'm going to Jeju and I'm doing this and I'm doing that in Korea especially. But or you see the weird story times, like, oh, the time that I met a K-pop star at the club, or the time that I met this K-actor at this cafe. And I'm like, those are all cute and stuff. And, you know, I get that they get all the likes and the views and stuff, but the reality is people don't talk about the fact that you don't make genuine friendships here, or it's difficult to make genuine friendships here. People don't talk about that. Or if you do make friends here, there's always that thought in the back of your mind, like, who's going to be the first one to say, like, oh, you know what, Korea's not it for me, I'm leaving. Which is okay, like, everybody has their seasons, but it's always just that, again, that friendship breakup. And not all friendship breakups are necessarily horrible in the sense of, I don't want to talk to you anymore. But it could just be like, you go back to where your home country, and sometimes you don't necessarily talk to that person ever again. You think that you're going to maintain a relationship once they're gone, but the reality is, for some people, it's like out of sight, out of mind. It's like, once I go back to wherever I went to, you don't really keep in contact with the person like you thought you were going to. They're not really in your mind like you thought they were going to. Again, not saying that's for everybody, but that's kind of what happens sometimes. But I am ever hopeful, as always. I'm never, even though I face the realities of a lot of things, I'm always hopeful in every situation. I never let the realities of my circumstances weigh me down or cause me to be dismayed. Have I had difficulty in making friends here? Absolutely. Have I had people be fake and try to be my friends here? Absolutely. But that's not going to deter me from making friends. I have met some amazing people here, and I have made some amazing connections here that some lasted a day, some lasted 2.5 seconds, some lasted a month, and some have lasted since I've been here. But you know what? That's just life, you know? C'est la vie. But I am not going to let it deter me, because I absolutely believe that God hears the desire of my heart. And the desire of my heart is that I find a group of friends that I can really just connect with, that understand me, and I understand them, and there is a reciprocity in our friendship, that it's not about me giving, and they taking, that it's a give and take, that there is a mutual reciprocity in the relationship. So I am ever hopeful, I am ever believing, and I know that God is going to give me the tribe that I desire while I'm living here in Korea for however long, because I don't know how long I'm going to be here either. But I do know that for this season of my life, I'm in Korea, and I'd like to spend this time with people that I can enjoy this season with, because I don't mind doing hot girl summer by myself, but I wouldn't mind spending it with other people. But if I gotta do it alone for right now, that's okay too. But I trust and believe that God is going to answer my prayers in due time. So I'm not gonna fret. I'm not gonna worry about it. I know that it'll all work out in due season. So with that being said, I am going to wrap up the final episode of Sorin's Soapbox. I can't believe it, but we are here. So again, I thank you guys from the bottom of my heart, truly, for an amazing first season. This has been a roller coaster for me. I can't believe I made it here, but I am here. I look forward to season 2. Again, I have some topics already up my sleeve, but if there are topics you would love for me to talk about, you can send them to me through Twitter, you can send them to me through Instagram, or if you're a Facebook person, send them to me through Facebook. I will look them over, I will consider them, and I will see. I would like to try and get some people on here who, you know, maybe some hosts, some co-hosts with me, or I'd like to get some guests on here, maybe do some topics with some guests. We'll see. And looking at the timelines and see what we can possibly do. But I am ever, ever, ever so grateful for everyone who takes the time to listen to this podcast. I ask you guys to please leave a review and rating on Podchaser. It does a great deal for a small content creator like myself. Please, of course, follow me on all social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Shameless Listo. That's Shameless Listo. While I'm on break, please make sure to catch up on all the episodes in season 1 if you're not all caught up. Because like I said, season 2, we are hitting the ground running, okay? I thank you guys for an amazing first season. Thank you for your love. Thank you for support. I thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. Again, remember, I am going to be off until August 13th. So until then, your girl is off her soapbox. See ya!